Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Matt Nelson behind the glass, Joey Pyburn. I'm Tom Nelson, and on the phone, you know, first he was gone for like 3 months, okay, and it was June, July, and August, and then he started going up there in May, so then it was May, June, July, and August, and then he started bear hunting up there, and it was April, May, June, July, and August. The trend is not my friend, Rob Ensley. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Rob.
I'm doing good. It has kind of become home up here, you know, for sure, so yeah, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So when you flew up there, April 10th, April 11th, when did you get up there?
Yeah, we got up here in early April, and hopefully coming home this week. That's the plan, is to fly home this week. We've got some weirdness going on with our barge stuff. We've got to figure out how to get our stuff barged out of here. But yeah, we're planning on coming home this week and hopefully be in studio with you guys next Saturday.
Well,
I look forward to that.
I was really hurt when, you know, I'm standing on the, you know, top end of Haida Gwaii, you know, at Peregrine Lodge, and I see Prince of Wales Island, and I waved, and, you know, I didn't see anything back from you.
I waved. You did. I was waving.
Okay.
Yeah, I waved.
You can't see a crab pot 200 yards in front of the boat. So how are you going to see Rob?
Well,
wave?
I don't know. I could see across Dixon Entrance, and I could see Hecate Strait, and I could also see how that would be one rough and nasty piece of water if you got out in the middle of it.
Hecate Strait.
Yeah.
Heck it straight, but that's
Heck it.
Anyway, sounded like you had a great trip.
It was.
Up there. Sounded like there's still had just a few Chinook around there end of the season, but that's cool. Got a couple of Chinook and
that
had
whole,
a great time.
The whole Peregrine Lodge, the whole Peregrine Lodge deal was amazing. It's cool because, you know, we're less than, you know, 70, 80 miles from you, you know, and then you look at the top of that island and you see that everything that you let slide by from Southeast Alaska is going to hit the top of that island. And they had an amazing season up there. And the week we were in the lodge, they got a 42. I saw a 42 and a 30 hit the dock. And, you know, we didn't get anything big, but dude, I'm telling you, I will always roll those dice. If I'm one of 25, 30 people that have a shot at a 40-pound Chinook, I'm going 100%.
But, for sure. Yeah, and those people know how to run a great operation. They've been there a long time. And it sounded like the food and the lodging and the service and everything was just over the top. And that's what you want when you go on a trip like that.
100%.
So, super cool.
Nicer.
Yeah, it was great to hear the report from there. It sounded like a blast.
It was totally a blast. So what is wrapping up your operation in Southeast looking like this week? What's your itinerary?
Taking inventory, and I'm still trying to find a couple more halibut too. I went out yesterday. We just need a couple more halibut for our free. I went out to the ocean and I'm like, this is not going to work. So I turn around, came back in. It was just jacked. I got a link on some rockfish yesterday. I'll probably head out today and just grab a couple more halibut in the islands here and then haul the boats, get everything all packed up to go on the barge and take inventory. You know, we're not here till next spring, so it's really important to take inventory of everything we have, and I mean everything, because by the time you get home, a couple months from now, you don't remember. You know, do we have enough rain gear? What about boots? Do we have enough boots? What do I do with that? Well, how many downriggers do I have here? You know, what do you got? So anyway, go through all that. And then pack up this week and get the dog and the kids and the whole family packed up and fly home. So a lot of work to do this week, but it's all good. All good work. And then Joe and I are already talking about hunting.
Have you been practicing your elk calling?
I have not. I don't have anything here.
No, right. Put that on your inventory list for next year, elk bugle and some calls.
Folks around here wouldn't even know what they're like, what is that weird? What's that guy doing now?
Oh, that'd be so fun because you could bugle from your house and they'd hear it down in the town.
Yeah. But just tell them,
oh, for sure.
Just tell them it's your fish whistle.
All the dogs would be howling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The wolves would be howling. Everybody would be howling around here. But no, I'll start practicing when I get home. I promise, Joe. I may actually go for a hike today too, Joe.
Ooh, there we go.
Start getting my legs cranked up. But no, Joe and I have been talking a lot of hunting, and things are kind of getting ramped up on that front. And we were talking yesterday. I've been e-scouting some spots that Joe and I are going to hunt this year, and I know Joe, you've been doing the same. And there's just some things that I look at when I'm looking at a new spot, in particular, just looking like as far away from roads or trails as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know Joe, you do the same, if not even more so than I do, but between Onyx and Base Map and then Google
Earth,
I'm just constantly toggling back and forth between those two.
Yeah.
And, nowadays, you know, it used to be you had to drive out there and spend a bunch of time in the woods and really walk the ground. And now you can do almost all of it from, you know, from your couch, watching the football game, or from your desk at work or whatever. I mean, you can do this all on your phone or your computer and just get a ton of work done and really zero in on some pretty, you know, key areas where you probably find an elk or a deer or whatever this time of year. And, with elk season coming up, I think it's really important to dive into some of this stuff before you head out, because you can find some hidden gems that's probably going to hold up an animal here with archery season coming up.
Yeah, well, so the thing about e-scouting is you're not just going to see roadless areas and where the trails are, but you can know where the water is, where the access to water is. You can see game trails from Google Earth. You can just see, like, oh, look at all these trails. And mm-hmm. the larger the area you can find, like between roads, obviously, but then also trail systems, try to find those spots that are, you have miles between trails. And I think a lot of time guys, they end up getting on the trail system and that's where they live. They hunt from the trail system, but the trails have people all summer long, right? So the further away you can get away from trails, roads, you're looking for bedding areas, timbered areas, meadows, avalanche chutes. On the west side here, these elk will use avalanche chutes in the heavily timbered area. That's where they're going to get out and feed. Doing the topo overlay on the map itself, because basically, when you're looking at your Onyx or your Base Map, you're looking at a Google Earth image, and you're seeing what you would see on Google Earth. But putting that overlay allows you to kind of see how rugged, how steep that country is. And that's the other thing. Find spots that maybe guys don't want to go. Those tough spots to get to. And once guys hit the woods this Saturday the 11th, that's the opener here in Washington for archery, those elk, some of those elk that have been living in certain areas are going to move. They're going to go to the unpressured areas. And Google Earth, Onyx Maps, and Base Map is a great way to scout those areas prior to the season and know, hey, you know the elk live here, but once they get pressured, where are they going to go? Do they go in that deep hole or on that steep side of that hillside and hide out? So those are just things to think about. When you're scouting prior to the season.
Yeah, with that topo on too, you can find those benches, you know, yeah. On a really steep hillside. You can find some benches in there. And you might even find some little meadows in there on those steep hillsides. There might be a bench that's all parked out with some alders on it or a little meadow in there. There's going to be animals in there because they're not just going to hang out on the straight up and down stuff. They like to find those little tiny benches. It might be the size of your living room, but it'd be enough to hold a small herd of elk. And that's all that stuff is key. And then don't forget to download the maps, because when you're up there, you don't have access. You don't have cell service. You know, so you've got to have access to those maps. So download all that stuff in a big grid and do a lot larger grid than you even need.
Yeah, do backup grids. Like, okay, yep. I'm focusing on this area, but mm-hmm. I want the 10-mile blocks
right.
All the way around.
And
oh yeah,
we should point out too that you're talking about Onyx specifically,
Onyx. And Onyx
so
or base
and,
map.
And base right. map
and Both base map. So
yeah,
by
yeah,
it, and do it on a couple different. platforms too. Like if you're an iPad guy and an iPhone guy, make sure you have it on both, because
make sure you have it on your work computer so you can get nothing done at work in September.
But
of course. And then you know, you may get to your trailhead where you're going and it be 50 rigs there and horse trailers and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So you need a bailout plan. And so the other thing to do too is mark all the other access points around where you want to go, because you may get there and go, oh my God, this is gonna suck, you know, and you need some bailout options.
I'll give you.
That's why you're going to do a big grid, and that's why you're going to mark all the access points around where you want to go. And then if you're looking at a certain basin too, if you've been in there before, the other nice thing about this is you can kind of look at a basin and figure out what the escape routes are going to be. You know, if this whole side of it's all cliffed out, you know, or maybe the backside of it's cliffed out. You don't know that. If you've just driven there and hunted one side of it and not done anything online, you may not know that the whole backside of that thing is a complete cliff. So they're probably not going to bail over the top of that, you know, or if they do, they're going to run right down to you one way or another. So you need to kind of look at some of those escape routes, and you can actually get yourself ahead of the game quite a bit by doing that, or finding some meadows on the backside that nobody's going to walk to. Mm-hmm. You know, some meadows back in the timber. There's just so much you can do. And then if you're in Google Earth, and this is a tip that I picked up from Jason Phelps when you guys were doing those seminars down at Sportco, change the elevation exaggeration to 1.5 in Google Earth. And this has saved me some trouble too in the past. It'll make it a lot more realistic. So when you look at Google Earth, you may look at them out and go, God, that's easy. I can climb right up the side of that thing. And you get there and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like cliffs and it's straight up and down. And if you change it to 1.5, it'll give you a lot more realistic view of what it actually looks like, whether it's even doable or not. So
what I'm hearing is really long explanation here of how you're going to come in and do one show, and then you and Joey are going to Montana the next week, right? Is that kind of what I'm talking
about? We're going to create content for the show,
great.
Tom.
Thank you. That's good. So I'm not gaining a Robbo. I'm losing a Joey. That's basically what you're telling here. Okay, great.
It'll be a net loss.
Lovely.
Yeah, net
that's
loss.
Just freaking great. Okay.
Matt's gonna have to come in here and do the show with you.
We have to.
Oh, Matt just rolled his.
That's it. He just left
shaking
the studio.
His head. Nope.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Yeah. Well, buddy, get here safe, and we look forward to having you back in studio for a couple of weeks before you're gone, maybe.
I'm looking forward to getting home.
It's going to be good to have you.
Getting my feet on dry ground. We've had a great summer here, but it's been awesome. But I'm ready to get home and get in the woods and start shooting my bow and get that new 6.8 Western out on the range and just kind of shift gears here a little bit and do some different stuff. I'm really looking forward to getting in the woods. No doubt.
Be good to have you back, buddy. All right, you get back safely, get things wrapped up. Hope you get one more flat one before you get back up here, and we'll talk to you soon, Robbo.
Thank you, guys. Have a great Saturday. See
you. Right,
talk to you soon. All right, and 710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. The website is peregrinelodge.com. You can jump on there to experience the best Haida-Gwaii salmon and halibut fishing, and the halibut fishing was wide open, too. It was, I mean... And you can keep 2 halibut a day under the 70 centimeter mark, right? Or you can get 1 over, which would be up to 70 pounds.
Yeah.
And where the last place we went to, you know, a couple of years ago, the halibut fishing was a little bit farther. This is like 3 miles from the salmon grass.
Perfect.
Dude, I'm telling you what. So our listener trip is June 19th through the 22nd, Father's Day 2022. Come join us, peregrinelodge.com. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Westport and La Push recreational salmon season to close effective today. The recreational salmon season closes Marine Area 3 La Push, and anglers have through September 7th to retain salmon in Marine Area 2 Westport. The reason for the closure is that recreational quotas for the coho are expected to be met by each area's respective closure date. After last week's Ilwaco closure, there was a significant effort shift north, which hastened the inevitable Labor Day weekend closure.
The lower main stem Columbia River from Tongue Point to Warrior Rock will close to all salmon fishing beginning September 4th. The closure is meant to protect Chinook making their way into the lower Columbia River tributaries catch data indicates that the area from Tongue Point to Warrior Rock is exceeding catch projections. The closure is necessary to help protect salmon listed under the Endangered Species Act. Fishing has been good, particularly in the Cowlitz River mouth area. Unfortunately, catches have exceeded expectations, and the lower river Tule catch limits have been reached. WDFW will be monitoring catches, and hopefully a reopener for coho later this month could be announced. The section of the river from Tongue Point to Warrior Rock will close to all fishing for salmon and steelhead on September 4th, while the section from Warrior Rock to Bonneville will close to all salmon and steelhead fishing on September 7th.
WDFW announces 62 days of tentative razor clam digs. Beginning in mid-September, running through the end of the year, we have 62 tentative dates for razor clam digs at beaches along the Washington coast. Final approval of tentative scheduled openings depends on results of marine toxin tests. Open beaches, Long Beach, Twin Harbors, Mocrocks, Copalis will all have increased limits through the end of the year, with diggers allowed to keep 20 clams instead of the usual 15. Each digger's clams must be kept in a separate container, and all diggers must keep the first they dig. Playlock Beach will not open this year due to continuing issues with depressed population of harvestable razor clams.
Anglers hoping for a crab dinner have through Labor Day weekend, September 6th, specifically to get their pots in. While crabbing now is not as easy as it was in the early season, there are still plenty of crab looking for an easy meal. The trick to late-season crabbing involves relying on three key factors, namely depth, bait quality, and soak time. Fishing deeper, in excess of 100 feet, is challenging because of line management. Good bait means using all those salmon carcasses you've been stacking up all summer, along with some raised bait crab blocks. Soak time means fishing heavier pots, so they'll be in the same place you dropped them when you come back to pick them up. After September 6th, WDFW do a postseason analysis to determine if we get a winter season, and the word on the street is recreational crabbers will get something in the October to December timeframe.
WDFW will not reopen the San Juan Islands to salmon fishing. This week, WDFW fishing managers made the decision to not reopen recreational fishing in Marine Area 7, the San Juan Islands, after only a seven-day Chinook season. The brief July opener resulted in over 2,500 hatchery Chinook, according to harvest estimates. This exceeded the controversial and restrictive 1,382 Chinook quota, which was the smallest quota of all the marine areas in Washington State.
WDFW would begin to offer in-person hunter education classes on August 14th, with options for full in-person and hybrid courses. The in-person and hybrid class formats are beneficial for all students. WDFW highly recommends in-person instruction for any students under 12 years of age. These courses reinforce important firearm and hunting safety principles, hunting ethics, basic survival and first aid, wildlife identification and conservation. Participants can sign up for classes on WDFW's Hunter Education page. Some classes may change based on availability and COVID-related restrictions. To help meet public demand, an online course is still available for students who must be at least 9 years old. Log on to wdfw.wa.gov for more information.
Fall marks the start of hunting seasons for deer, elk, waterfowl, and upland game birds in many parts of Washington. To help hunters have a successful hunting season, WDFW has released its Hunting Prospects Report, which provides guidance and hunting information for each district. District Wildlife Files write these popular reports to give an in-depth look at what field conditions should look like this year. Hunters should pay special attention to the following items for upcoming seasons. There's a change to the fall grouse season, wildfire impacts, and youth waterfowl hunting dates. Hit WDFW's hunting page for more information.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
All right, temperatures are going down all over the state. Little bug hatch going on. Time to go maybe get that little slice of Montana that we know is the Yakima River over there in Allensburg.
Maybe. And nothing better than wading and pocket, hitting those pockets, you know?
Yeah.
The spring fishery over there is mostly a drift boat deal. You're fishing out of the boat.
Yep.
But now you get to get out and wade and, you know, cast.
It's
accurate casting
easier,
right into those little pockets.
Easier do-it-yourself deal.
Yeah, just
for sure.
Beautiful over there this
time.
Oh,
dude, it is. Yeah. So log on to redsflyshop.com. It's Fly Fishing University, man. And the best guy to talk to us about it, joining us next, Joe Roeder, Red's Fly Shop at Canyon River Ranch. Joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the wheelhouse here, 710 ESPN, Seattle. We're still trying to hook up with Joe Roeder, and we will get him soon. But Head over to Canyon River. Head over to redsflyshop.com. If you've never experienced the Yakima River Canyon, it's an amazing, amazing body of water.
Yeah, Joe's probably, he's probably tying a fly or has his hand stuck in an oarlock. Who knows?
Because it couldn't be that I gave Matt the wrong phone number. That could not be it at all.
That doesn't happen ever.
So the last time I was over there, it's such an amazing place for that cast and blast opportunity. They plant a bunch of pheasants, okay? And so you go in the morning with your dog, right, and go do that program in the morning. Well, actually, let me back up. The night you get there, you're going to warm up on the sporting clays range,
yes,
right, which is good because, as you well know, I could use a little warming up every now and then. And then go pheasant hunting in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you come back and grab a bite and then hit the creek. And Joe Roeder joining us now, redsflyshop.com. How you doing there, Joe?
Morning, Joe.
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I get to chat fishing and hunting for a living. That's pretty good.
What's going on today? You're not guiding?
No, I'm not guiding. I'm going to be working in the shop. Labor Day weekend is kind of the kickoff, the big do-it-yourself fishing season here, because the Yakima is really unique. It runs really high and swift, and it lends itself to floaters and guides like June, July, August. And then this is about the time of year. It's great for do-it-yourself fishing. The water level comes down. They just subside the flow for reduced irrigation demand. Mm-hmm. River gets low and very wadeable. So people can get out in the river and look a little bit more like Brad Pitt in A River Runs Through It.
Which is important.
Well, swift water. Which is very appropriate, because if there is a portion of Washington State that is just a plant transplant of Montana, right in the middle of the state, it's the Yakima Canyon. Mm-hmm. It's blue ribbon trout water like we really don't have in a lot of different areas of the state. It's just got that arid and dry feel to it. I mean, if you were in Montana and took a chunk of it and brought it back there, it will look a lot like the Yakima River Canyon, Joe Roeder.
Oh yeah, just the whole ambiance there is great, and it's so cool. I'm fortunate to get to live here.
And so this time of year, though, with the cooling temperatures, and we talked about this yesterday, you've got a variety of different hatches that are really amounting to another really high activity period for the rainbows in that creek.
Yeah, so what happens is during the summer, you know, it was a real warm summer, a lot of 100-degree days. A lot of the insects that trigger feeding activity for the trout kind of subside, and the trout become foragers, and there isn't really, like, sometimes a particular strategy that will work every day. We fish a lot of grasshopper type flies when it's hot, but then when it cools in the fall, we start to see insects like blue winged olives and October caddis and mahogany duns and other insects will trigger these real specific hatches. So if anglers haven't fly fished much or a lot, you hear this term like match the hatch. And in the fall, what happens is we see this emergence of bugs coming out of the river. You see trout feeding on them, and it's very exciting. It's like I equate it to like spot and stock deer hunting, where you see your prey, it's feeding, and you got to get in there and make one good shot, you know, without disturbing it. And it's a very exciting time to fish. The next 60 days are going to be among our best of the year.
And these fish have been targeted all summer long. So do they get a little tougher to catch, you know, in the fall, especially as the water is lower and clearer? They got to be kind of finicky. They've probably seen every fly you guys have there in the shop.
Yeah, that's a really fair question. And what happens in the fall too, Joey, is the water is getting lower and clearer, and the fish are just more aware of their surroundings in general. So going out and just laying out like a sloppy presentation to the trout isn't really going to work, because the water is lower and clearer. They can see well. So, you know, a very delicate cast with lighter line, the trout still are at the mercy of their appetite. I mean, so it can get a little bit more challenging if one were to look at it like that. But I think a slower approach, lighter line, and kind of a real appreciation for what your presentation looks like, the trout, it's just a great time to be a trout fisherman in Washington in the fall.
So
they're smart, but
at the same time,
they're at the mercy of their appetite.
Yeah, at the same time, winters are coming, and they need to pack on some grits. So, you know, it's probably a little bit of both. But, yeah, and And that's one thing about a fishery like that is you want to make sure that you're tuned up and you can cast and you know, like Joe said, don't come with some sloppy presentation.
You can't go in there with a buggy whip and froth the water and expect to do very well. Joe Roeder joins us, Red's Fly Shop at Canyon River Ranch. And, of course, you guys do both sports over there. You do fishing and hunting. And pretty soon you're going to be starting to let some pheasants loose up there. Tell us a little bit about that program, Joe Roeder.
Yeah, so we release pheasants. I mean, it's the only way for us to have, unless you have hundreds of thousands of acres, for you to have like a good consistent hunting operation. So yeah, we release pheasants for folks. We do it on the Mount Baldy Ranch, which is just adjacent to our property in the Yakima River Canyon. And we're going to start in about 7 to 10 days. We'll start doing release pheasant hunts. It's a great time for folks that have an upland dog. It's a great place to come and just hunt our ranch and let your dog do some work. If folks have hunted like little to almost none or none, it's a great place to come and kind of get indoctrinated into the sport of upland bird hunting, because we do guided trips. We also do classes called Upland 101, and folks can come out, learn how to shoot a shotgun in the morning, and then we do just a real kind of slow-paced, controlled hunt out on the ranch after that, and then people learn how to clean, should they hit them. People learn how to clean birds at the end of the day. So it's really it's a pretty cool kind of very inviting location for any folks that are kind of new to bird hunting as well.
Well, and it's a wonderful tune-up because, I mean, we're 6 weeks away from the general hunt opener. And when we were talking earlier this week, you're kind of fired up about the mule deer prospects and population in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I was mentioning that yesterday. I've been guiding here 20 years, and I spend a ton of time outside, whether it's guiding, you know, in the canyon, or bouncing around the hills here hunting other big game or mountain biking or whatever. And, the deer population right now is really good. Like, I mean, all across eastern Washington, it's just a great year. The last couple of seasons must have been good to the fawn recruitment because, man, I'm bumping into deer all over the valley right now. So, yeah, it's got me excited, of course. But, I think it's a good time to be a sportsman.
Well, and you've already started your hunting season. You popped a pitchy bear. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, I took my two sons. I got my sons are 14 and 12, and they love bouncing around the high country with me. And so last week we did a quick overnight trip. So we threw sleeping bags on our backs. We went and slept on this high peak, half scouting for high country mule deer and then, bear hunting as well. So I had a rifle with me. And we got in an avalanche shoot and used a predator call. We were seeing a lot of bear sign. And but it's a real thick, brushy, series of avalanche shoots. And we posted up in one of those and used a predator call. In fact, I gave a shout out to the call maker. I bought this call like almost 10 years ago. Rain Shadow Calls, built here in the Northwest. Bought it at a charity auction. But anyway, so, we set up and we call, and it sounds like essentially an animal or a deer in distress.
So
called that bear in.
It doesn't sound like Steve Joyce hooking himself in the ear with a number 12 Royal Coachman on a back cast. There's no truth to that rumor at all.
No, it sounds exactly like that. That's what they modeled the call after.
Oh, okay.
Angler in distress.
Yeah, there we go. Steve Joyce in distress. The new bear call. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bears can't resist.
Bears can't resist Steve Joyce with a fly in his ear. It's perfect. Steve Joyce, of course, is Joe Roeder's partner in crime in Red's Fly Shop in Canyon River Ranch. So anyway,
hell of a sportsman.
Oh, dude,
but he's question. Actually out hunting big bulls today on the Yakima Firing Center. He's been on the elk hunt today, but can't wait to hear how he does. But so anyway, we called this bear in and just had a big, I mean, just a big pack out. My sons were awesome. But I got this bear, which we're going to make, we're going to cook part of it for Labor Day weekend barbecue this afternoon, which is going to be great. It had pitch all over its paws. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it had been not sure exactly how it was getting into that much pitch, but I'm sure it's probably the equivalent of maple syrup to a bear. But it'd pitch all over its paws.
I've never seen anything like that. it when you first sent me the picture, I thought I was looking at like some type of growth on the back of the bear's paw, but then when you look at it closely, you can see the pine needles and all the stuff stuck in there.
Dude, he was just packing his lunch with him. It was a peanut butter and jelly stone sandwich.
I would have loved
chewed on his paw.
I love watching bears.
Joey, take a look over at Nelson's hands and
see. Oh, don't. There's, hey,
covered
there's
in
no,
fish scales.
No truth to the rumor that I keep a maple bar with me at all times, all right? So
I would have loved to have been able to watch that bear and see what the heck was he getting into.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. It's like, he was like he was saving it for later, man. I don't know.
Where do you think the bear paw pastry came into existence? Yeah. Somebody saw that before you, so no question. Tell us a little bit before we let you go, Joe, about the University of Fly Fishing and how guys that are interested in the wonderful and delicate sport of fly angling can get a head start on their new passion.
Yeah, so obviously you got a lot of listeners who are tackle fishermen, which is where all of us started. I mean, every pro fly fisherman started fishing tackle and then just got enamored with the fly cast. And when you find out fly fishing can be more effective than tackle fishing in, you know, a variety of scenarios where you like to fish, you're pretty hooked on it. So we weren't all born fly fishermen. You got to get started somewhere. But we have a series of courses that we put people through, and the goal is to bring them out the other end, you know, 2 to 4 seasons down the road and put them in that highly capable category, you know, from casting to reading water to understanding every strategy that there is to use in fly fishing, whether that's spey fishing or various types of different nymph fishing strategies, which is fishing flies underwater. You know, we don't always throw dry flies, you know, that float on the surface, but people come into that from ground zero, and we, you know, or come into it as an intermediate angler. We're going to bring you out the other end, put you in the highly capable category to where you're, you know, proficient, go anywhere in the world and be successful on a fly. And you can start with just a class or two. You don't have to enroll for a couple of years. But I think if people want to get serious about it and they're listening, consider making a commitment to being good 2 years from now. You're not going to be able to do it in a weekend. You can get started that way, but, yeah, a couple seasons down the road, you'll have that long, beautiful, delicate fly cast that you've seen on TV, and maybe a trout on the other end of it.
If you find yourself fly casting in your backyard, then you realize that you're now completely screwed up on fly fishing.
Oh, yeah. Back when I was guiding, every day, it was like shooting up my bow. I was out there seeing how much of my backing I could punch out of the reel, but... Yeah, I mean, what a paradise. Red's Fly Shop, Canyon River Ranch. I mean, you can go over there, and like Joe said, you can go catch a trout on a fly in the morning, go shoot a limit of pheasant.
All within an hour or so.
And experts help you along the way.
It's a short pop over 90. You know, it's an hour. It's only an hour drive, but it's a world away. Canyon River Ranch, Red's Fly Shop. Joe Roeder, thank you for your time, and go chew on that bear, man. Go get it.
Yeah,
and,
man. And it's delicacy.
And don't tell Steve Joyce that we picked on him today.
My wife makes me tell the company that we're eating bear before they say it's the best thing they've ever eaten. I like to wait until after.
There you go.
Yeah, so do I.
Perfect.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Joe. Thank you so
too,
much,
buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week in the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson, RVs.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
Just coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where?
Where?
RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Head over to the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center on Smoky Point Boulevard, and you're going to find a complete selection of Class A diesels, Class B motorhomes, Class C, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, boats, and others, including a few vehicles over there only at Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com. I tell you what, man, there's September is truly the sportsman's, you know, time of year. September, October, you got that nice mix of you know, a couple different species of salmon available right now. You got kind of the beginnings of a little bit of hunting season, you know, and the weather, dude, this next week, the weather's going to be pretty nice. And so just for Labor Day weekend, you got pinks on tap. You got coho. You still got some crabbing out there. Okay.
And then things move to the rivers, too. I mean, look, there's going to be good fishing around well into October.
Yep.
You may have to travel a little bit for it, but, you know, like I said, the cowlitz, a lot of those tribs down south are going to have some phenomenal opportunities on not only coho, but chinook. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a cool time of year. Anytime you can go, I mean, we're going to get to, I think the kiddos get to go like
2 weeks.
18th, right?
Yeah, yep, 2 weeks. So that'll be the youth pheasant hunt followed shortly by the youth waterfowl hunt.
Yep.
And then that's kind of the geezer opener, too, for the release sites, right?
Yeah, they go like the 20th or something, and then we get to go on the 25th.
Right.
Me and you and Tug and Billy.
There we go. Perfect. And that's when the pheasants start. Yeah. So,
yeah,
don't want to miss out on any of that. You know, so this weekend I'll be a little out of pocket, but then next week, middle of next week on, I'm going to get serious about coho. And typically I don't really bother until Labor Day weekend, but I'm almost late this year. Just the number of big coho that are here right now is pretty surprising. Now I'm speaking directly of, you know, marine areas 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good push of big coho. In throughout the whole central Puget Sound right now.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned earlier in the show, like moving up to the west side of Whidbey Island, and I think you're going to probably get away from some of those pinks and, you know, Double Bluff, Bush Point, Fort Casey, Partridge Point even.
you said it.
For coho.
I didn't think I think you're going to say that.
Yeah. So. No, I think that's a great plan.
Yeah.
We may have to do a little.
Oh, we're going to go around. We're going to burn some fuel.
We're going to burn fuel? No.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, guys are, so we're past the peak of the pinks.
You know what happens when you get a 30-foot duck worth offshore? It's pretty nice to burn fuel.
Yeah.
It's such a comfortable, nice vessel to just hang out in. It's like, oh, let's just, what do you want to do? You want to run up to Area 7?
Well, here's the deal, man. I mean, my business model, you know, previously was trailering everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, trailering's more economical. Okay, you get the mileage basically of your vehicle instead of the mileage from the boat. Okay, but then there's the hassle of, you know, appropriate boat ramps and appropriate tides and the launch hassles, and then having to spend more time on I-5 instead of like, dude, I'd rather spend the time running the boat.
Yeah,
I'd rather be, you know, because it's its own advantages, and CQ is a great example of this. So, we, you know, first couple times we went out to CQ, and we're already talking about CQ in the winter, you know, in the March season, but CQ is a great destination right now for coho as well. But if you want to go to CQ, and most of the guys will, you know, from Western Washington here, will jump on a ferry, okay, and then get across. So you're waiting in the ferry line, and then there's a, you know, the drive across, you know, the top of the peninsula, which includes that 25-mile-an-hour windy, twisty around Lake Crescent when you get west of west of Squim and Port Angeles, right? And then there's another windy twisty because you got to go through Sappho, so you're almost right. So you're almost to Forks and take that ride up. It took us about 5 hours to trailer out there.
Yeah,
we made it from the Port of Everett to the Slip Point Can in 3 hours flat. Yeah. Now, granted, that was pretty.
Weather
was perfect,
pretty good, right?
Weather was perfect. Yeah. But
that could turn into a
long
journey.
Yeah, and a lot of guys that took their boats out there in late March, early April, got hit right in the teeth by a gale. Okay, now this time of year, not really the case, right? But you know, it just, you know, again, we're pretty lucky to live close to Puget Sound and do the things we do. Now it's going to be a long dark winter, and the guys up in Area 7 are throwing coffee at their, you know, at their computers right now.
Pulling
their hair out. And I don't blame them because, you know, 7 days of recreational fishing in the San Juan Islands is a crime. Okay.
I know.
It's pathetic.
But you know, and look, I've said I was done fishing and I was,
you're not.
I'm not. I want to go out. I haven't been on the boat since buoy 10. And I told you're going out of town. And I was like, I might just go down to the boat and turn on the music and scrub the boat.
Here's what Joey told me he was going to do. Right, we're going to go for a drive this week, you know, Labor Day weekend. We're going inland with some friends, and then, but Joey goes, you know what? Is the boat in the water? I'm just going to go down the boat and clean the boat. Now, okay, that's kind of wrong, dude. You should go take Callie for a ride for sure.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe we will. I miss fishing. I'll get to like October 15th, yeah. And then I'll be like, then I'm like, oh, I can't wait for fishing. But you know, right now, there's all this hunting stuff rattling around in my head, and it just kind of consumes me. But you know, we have that opportunity out at CQ, which is as much as I want it just for us. Man, if you that time of year. We haven't had anything to fish for. We'll probably get some little fishery here in Area 10 maybe and some blackmouth opportunity. But that was one of the funnest trips of the year, right?
That was an absolute ball.
And the fish are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So that's a March and April deal. But, dude, we got a lot of hunting and to talk about before that's coming up, and you know, I'm looking forward to having Robbo back next week. So we'll have a full booth next week. Robbo, you and me and Robbo.
I'll be sitting. I'll have to go.
He'll sit over
there,
and Rob's going to write the Northwest Outdoor Report. No question about it. You missed any of the show? Jump on mynorthwest.com. Jump on theoutdoorline.com or download that Apple iTunes app and get the complete hour podcast. So give us a follow on social media at Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, Joey Pyburn, Robbo Ensley up in Southeast Alaska. This is Tom Nelson. This is Ben, The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.